Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 168. On this episode, we do something a little bit different again. We do another overrated, underrated, this time not cigar brands, but individual cigars themselves. This is actually a really fun episode to record, so we hope everybody enjoys, and I appreciate everybody's user submissions in terms of the cigars they want to hear us talk about. That list compiled just a few days ago, and it's the one that we went off of. So let's get into it. Enjoy.
I am struggling a bit. I've been feeling really overwhelmed when I walk into the humidor. There's just too many cigars to choose from, and I never know what to pick. I'll get the hot flashes, my IBS begins to act up from all the pressure of it. It'd be really nice if someone could just choose for me.
Well, have you ever heard of My Cigar Pack?
What in the dickens is My Cigar Pack?
Well, I'll tell you. My Cigar Pack is a premium cigar club designed to cater unique packs to your door through an innovative platform that takes all the guesswork out of choosing those perfect cigars.
Right you are, Corey. They send you 5 individual premium cigars, a reusable pouch with a Beveda pack, and an add-on item that complements your experience.
You can choose from 3 different options, a mild medium pack, or a medium full pack, and My Cigar Pack works hand-in-hand with real cigar experts and manufacturers to design each monthly combination.
Yeah, and you can choose between their monthly subscription pack for $39.99 or a one-time purchase for $49.99, and shipping is always complimentary.
Visit MyCigarPack.com today to sign up now. New customers will receive $10 off their first order. That's up to a 25% savings off your first pack. Type in promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive your $10 off. Again, visit MyCigarPack.com and enter promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive $10 off your first purchase. Get it, dongers.
I lost you.
Dude, it was like 70 minutes of conversation, just completely lost. And it was probably
like I kept talking and you looked like your face was looked so involved. And then I realized you weren't blinking anymore. But I was like, well, maybe he's learned a new skill. So I just kept talking for 70 plus minutes.
Yeah, there was a there was a time I was on a call with my team and one of the girls that works for me, hers froze up. Like her Zoom froze up and it was like the goofiest face. It was like something like this or she was like, and it was just for us. So I took a screenshot of it and I literally have like, I've used that a couple times to my advantage. Cause it's so like the face is so funny. Cause it's just like, like right in the middle of speaking, you know, when it just like hits that perfect moment.
Oh,
yeah. Exactly what happens. Fucking hysterical. Anyway, we'll move on from the last subject.
I don't even remember what it was because I
guess people just gonna miss it.
Because I just like finished it, you know, like it was a one and done thing.
Yep. You can't get back into it. It's like all getting all the toothpaste out of the toothpaste bottle or toothpaste tube. Can't put it back in once it's out.
Right.
Exactly. Can't go back in. You probably haven't. There's a new trailer for a witches movie. Remember that witches movie with like the really ugly witches in the hotel and they turn the kid into a rat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a new one. It's like an HBO and it's like Anne Hathaway and like a couple other like famous actors. They're remaking the movie. It looks terrible. It looks awful. It looks worse than the first one. And the first one's actually really good because it's meant to be kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
And ridiculous. This one just looks ridiculous. But yeah, they're remaking that movie. But I remember the first time watching that movie, it scared me.
Like when they're at the convention and they start transforming into witches, like, yeah, oh my God.
It fucking scared me. And all like the green gas shit, like whatever they do in the spell, and it was like everything turns into like a green gas.
Like,
yeah. Like that used to scare me when I was younger. So it's a remake of that movie, which I thought was kind of cool. And they're also remaking the one with the three cunts. What's that movie?
Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. The remake in the Hocus Pocus too.
Interesting.
I like that movie. That movie is fucking sweet.
Yeah, I like that one a lot too. And 'tis the season, man. We're in October.
Yeah.
It's the 2nd right now. When you hear this, it'll be the 5th. But it's October now. Spirits are high. The ghouls are coming out. Like, yeah. This is a perfect time to do some seance shit. So, before we get into any more stuff, Corey, because
yeah.
we're on
yeah.
Zoom, because I think it's still applicable,
mm-hmm.
I double dog dare you to say Bloody Mary three times into your Zoom conference call.
Not going to do it.
Bloody Mary.
Not going to do it.
Bloody Mary.
No, don't do it.
Oh, I'm afraid.
Don't do it.
I don't know if I want to say it.
Oh, I'm going to poop. No.
Bloody. Oh, I don't know if I can finish it. Bloody Mary.
Oh, God. We fucked.
I already feel weird.
We fucked.
I already feel weird.
Everybody gonna die.
What if our What if our episodes were like The Ring, and every time you watched one, you had to transfer, someone else had to watch it to prevent you from dying?
That'd be crazy.
So, like, maybe this is our call to action to our following. If you watch this episode and you don't make someone else watch it in 7 days, you're going to die.
Yeah, well, that's quite an indictment, Chris. I'm pretty sure that's called premeditated murder.
The last thing you want to see me is crawl out of your computer screen. All wet and soppy, yeah, you know.
No one wants that. No one.
And
wants
I
that.
Give you your craziest O face ever when you die, because that's what it is.
It's, yeah, they like freeze up. Like,
it's just a bunch of people that are caught in mid orgasm. She's like,
that's exactly what it is, dude. Look at the veins in my forehead.
I get one too, right here.
You know why? It's because I just yelled for a few minutes.
Oh, that'll do it.
Also, look at my lesbian haircut.
It looks good, though.
It does look good. I love it this length. It's great. Oh, I got a teeth cleaning this morning. So I went to the dentist to clean my teeth. And the oral, I don't know, what do they call the techs? Oh, that's not good. That's the Dies de Gloria, too. Ooh, bad mama. That's not good. Hide that. We'll edit this out.
blur out the cigar.
So I went to the dentist, and the dental hygienist lady was like cleaning my teeth, and she's like, "You have really nice teeth." I was like, "Thank you." And she's like, "Do you usually get them clean like every 6 months?" And I was like, "No." She's like, "Oh, how often do you get them clean?" I was like, "I'm on an interval of like every 17 years." And she was like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, I haven't had a teeth cleaning since I was like in high school." She's like, "You're kidding me." I was like, "Not joking at all." She's like, "Your teeth are so nice." I was like, "Thank you. I appreciate that." And she's like, "Oh, by the way, we're going to have to do another root canal." I was like, fuck.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I have a tooth that I had a filling on this side, and the tooth is broken off, and it's been broken off forever. I mean, I deal with it. I mean, it doesn't hurt. And she was like, "Yeah, that one's gonna get worse, and you're going to have to get another root canal." I was like, "Cool."
Dude, can't I've wait. Been on a deep rabbit hole on my Instagram search feed. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, and now it's a combination of celebrities, what they looked like then and what they look like now.
Like,
I don't
you're
know.
You're intentionally looking for this, or this is something that is just
this
popping
is like
up.
Something that it's being recommended to me. And then another one is like people with curly hair, like how to like maintain your curly hair. And
dude, just
healthy.
Ask me. I can tell you exactly how to do it.
And then the last bit, which is something that I do intentionally watch on there, is like zit popping.
That's
and
fucking
like weird,
gross.
Like blackhead removals.
Why do you do that?
But it's led to dental stuff. So like I've been watching a bunch of people like have their teeth filed down, like really bad teeth.
Yeah.
Getting filed down and getting like veneers, or like getting all these different techniques of like getting fake teeth.
Yeah, that's weird.
So many different techniques.
Have you watched The Social Dilemma yet?
No.
So it's a documentary on Netflix. You should watch it. It's directly related to why you're seeing certain things. Obviously, probably, I mean, you know how it works. Like, you know, like, no different than like you and I could be talking about like, oh, I can't wait to buy this new mattress from so-and-so. And then 10 minutes later, you look at your Facebook feed and there's a sponsor ad for that mattress, right? Like,
I want to be a millionaire. And it's just a bunch of people saying that they can... How you can become a millionaire.
Right.
In like
look what I've done in the residential housing market. Yeah.
You see this Lamborghini?
Get rich quick.
Paid for cash.
Right. So So The Social Dilemma is a documentary, and a lot of the people who are in the documentary are the original creators or people who used to work for like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, like all these big, like I didn't realize that the guy who created the like button for Facebook is the founder of Asana. It's his company.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy. I almost
put money into their stocks when they went public this last week.
Really? Asana?
Oh, yeah, they've gone up 38% since their IPO.
Well, just do it now.
But the problem was that the buy-in was really high, too.
Yeah, they also have a lot of competition, unfortunately. They have, like, Monday.com, and then, like, what's the other one?
Trello.
Trello. That's what it is. So they get a lot of competition. But anyway, besides the point, you need to watch the documentary because it's all about how, like they were talking about, you know, social media has been great at its inception. Like at the beginning, it was a way to connect people and it did a lot of good for a lot of people. But then they talked about how like that machine, unchecked, unregulated, has caused so much detriment to people's lives. And it was talking about like even the idea of like being able to use user data or to sell user data. They're like, this is not regulated. This is not like the pharmacy industry. It's not like anything we've ever seen. It's so unregulated that your shit is literally everywhere at all times being used against you, which is crazy.
So a little fun fact. 2 days ago, I made a life decision. That decision was to adopt out my child. No. I deactivated my Facebook account.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to do the same. Honestly, like I love Instagram because what it does for like it's the best medium we have for what we do. But like my Facebook is so unnecessary. It's just unnecessary at all levels. And like I was thinking about it the other day, contemplating. I was like, I think this weekend or before the weekend, I'm just gonna just deactivate my Facebook.
It felt good too.
Yeah, I need to do that really bad. I've been trying to spend a lot less time on my phone and successfully because obviously you can see like certain metrics of like how much you spend on certain apps and whatever. And it's decreased for me significantly. A lot of it's just because I'm so busy. But like I'm even going to challenge myself like on the weekends not to, you know, I usually was posting like for the podcast, which I don't do anything on my personal Instagram. It's all for the podcast, right? But I was posting sometimes at intervals 2 times a day, typically always 2 times a day. 2 times a day, so it's 14 times a week, and it's rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Well, then I cut that back to once a day. So now I only do once a day. Now I'm thinking about cutting it back to just 5 days a week, not including the weekends, just not posting anything on the weekends.
Yeah.
Other than like things on stories and stuff like that, because those are just fun and they're quick or whatever. But like, why am I spending so much fucking time doing this? Like for what? For what? For like some more likes and some, you know, a minuscule amount of more follows or whatever. Like, who gives like, a shit?
In a weird way, for most people, it's like, don't forget about me. I'm doing all these things. Don't forget about me.
My drive, though, is not personal. My drive is what we do on the podcast. But I feel like if the content is good enough, it'll speak for itself. You know what I mean? You'll get increase in listenership and engagement naturally just because of the content that you put out, not how much effort you're putting into social media. I do think the two things go hand in hand. So I'm not saying I'm disbanding it completely. I think the throttle back is really healthy. Like I remember when we were moving in to the house, there was 2 days where I didn't even open Instagram and it felt fucking incredible. Like never even looked at my phone. Like just, I wasn't responding to texts either. Like I wasn't fucking calling anyone back. It was just like I was focused on the house and it felt good just to have that level of removal. And now knowing what I know, which I've known, like it's weird because like the Social Dilemma documentary highlights things that I think most intelligent people in terms of like what they understand social media to be in terms of like advertisements, they already understand it. But for like people who don't and don't understand like how Instagram is taking through certain algorithms, which by the way, only become smarter and smarter with your data the more active you are on a social media platform. So over a period of time, it fucking narrows down to a very high degree your likes and dislikes and continues pushing content to you for advertising purposes, right? Like how do we convert someone? You know, Cordy keeps looking up pictures of fucking, you know, giant dildos. How do we push more giant dildo content to Corey? You know what I mean? And yep. that's literally what it's doing with every single person. And I'm not even on it that much. I have a big boy job. You know, my attention is not really diverted all that much during the day. But there's a lot of people and young kids and teenagers who spend their life on their phone, and think about what that does correlating like likes and dislikes, personal, you know what I mean? Personal things that you attach yourself to, hobbies and so on. What kind of data is just being absorbed by these massive organizations to basically push back on you? Like, it's crazy how it's like they're using your data essentially against you.
Yeah.
It's wild.
You know,
hard to say it's a conspiracy theory when it's true.
Yeah. I mean, you know how I am with social media.
Yeah, you know what's strange though? You know what has always kind of dumbfounded me about you? Well, I guess not so much now that I've watched that documentary, but it is strange how you live in the tech world but are removed in terms of like social media. But what's weird is all these people who are like these tech, like they had a guy who was the former CEO of Twitter.
Yeah.
The interviewer asked him, he's like, you have young children, right? And he goes, yeah. He goes, do you let them on social media? He goes, absolutely not. He's like, they get no time on phones. Like, my wife and I have restrictions from them to where they can't have tablets, they can't have phones, they can't have social media accounts until they're adults. And I was like, damn. And this is a guy who fucking ran Twitter. So he knows. And all the other people said the same thing. They're like, absolutely not. Like, one guy was like, my kids have tablets for like learning, but we limit their time to certain hours a day. And like, there's like a usage thing where it like will literally shut off the tablets that they use, that if it's used over a certain amount of time for things that aren't like education related. I was like, holy shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
And most people go unrestricted in terms of those things, because what happens is like a tablet and those social media accounts and the interaction from an internet perspective become babysitter for kids.
Yeah. Give me one second. I'm going to go train this dog. Hey, Kale. Hey, man. What's up? You know what I'm doing. Don't pester that dog. Get up here.
Oh, Kale's aggravating him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should know better. That's 10 lashings.
Come on, man. Come on, bro. Bro.
Tell him I won't play video games with him if he doesn't stop.
Corey won't play video games with you if you keep pestering that dog over there. I don't want to have to put it down. And that ain't even my dog.
Oh man. Okay, so let's get into this is a good segue. Let's get into today's topic for the podcast, which is another overrated, underrated. However, the dynamic has changed. Ooh. Typically, it's an overrated, underrated on brands specifically, which we have a ton of those to still go through. But this time I wanted to switch it up a little bit. I wanted to do overrated, underrated on specific cigars. And these cigars are provided by our collective audience, not by us. So we are going to challenge ourselves. And of course, these have to be cigars of which we have smoked before that we can talk to and we can talk about. And we are going to decide whether or not we think categorically these individual cigars are overrated, underrated. It has nothing to do with the brand. It could be a brand that we've already talked about. We could have named that brand as either overrated or underrated. But individually, to putting a microscope on one individual cigar, is it overrated? Is it underrated? I don't know how many we'll go through. We could go through 5. We could go through 10. We could go through 20. We got about 40 submissions. So who knows how long it'll take us.
Well, we can keep it short. They're all overrated.
They're all dog shit. So in no particular order, let's begin. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First one on the list.
I'm so nervous.
Is the Tatuaje Black Label.
Ooh. Okay. And that one comes in at a price point of $8, right?
It's pretty modest. Yeah. It's not all expensive. I would say it's one of the more affordable ones in the Tatuaje line. I have my own personal... I'm wanting to hear from you first before I chime in on the Tatuaje.
Tatuaje Black Label. I, you know, to be honest with you, Tatuaje puts out some great smokes. They do have upper echelon price cigars. However, the Black Label, if I am not mistaken, is around $8. Honestly, I want to say I think it's priced appropriately. I don't think it's overrated. There's really no gimmicks to it. It's a full-bodied smoke. Never had any issues with it. I think that one hits the mark.
Yeah, so it's I would say for me, because I've only had bad experiences with this particular cigar, I think it's overrated because I've never had a good experience with it. Now, I don't want to necessarily say that the cigar itself is overrated. I think if you're talking about specifically from an experience perspective, I would say it's overrated because I've always had challenges with this cigar. However, from a flavor perspective, I actually really like the Tatuaje Black. I think it's a very delicious cigar. It's not my favorite. I would even argue like the Havana 6, which is at a lesser price point or close to me is a better cigar. I think it's a better value. But I think the cigar, honestly, in terms of like the Tatuaje lineup, is very appropriate. I don't think it's one of those cigars that is where I'm like over challenged by the cigar or underwhelmed by it either. I think it fits right in where it needs to fit with the Tatuaje lineup.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you don't shoot that dog, I'm gonna shoot that dog.
Hey, we'll agree to disagree on that one. Hey, Kale. Go inside, bud. Take Ripley with you. That dog just, you know what it is.
It's fucking annoying is what it is. God damn, like, that dog doesn't shut up.
Imagine not having any friends. And then someone walks up to you.
Yeah, I know. The dog just seems lonely and it's outside all the time. I feel bad for it, but I'm also going to kill it.
And that dog is literally trying to tell Ripley its life story in the form of a bark.
Yeah.
And Ripley's like, I just kind of want you to sniff my ass. I don't need like the whole like background of your life and your parents and your shitty owners.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really obnoxious. So you think the Tatuaje Black is appropriate?
I do. I've never had a problem with the Tatuaje.
Right.
You know, I think it's priced well. I think it's a decent smoke.
Yeah, it is definitely priced well. There's no doubt about that. Again, it's pretty in line with like the standard brown label, the Havana 6. I think it's pretty well aligned with those cigars in terms of a price point. Actually, I would even argue I'm pretty sure the Black is even less. I honestly think, if I remember correctly, I only paid for like what I smoked in this cigar, which I remember being a larger Vitola, was only probably like $6.
Really?
So it's probably right in alignment with the Havana 6. So really, from a value perspective, it seems like the cigar is probably pretty fucking amazing. I've just never had any good experiences with the Black. The Black is the very first Tatuaje that I smoked. It was the very first one where, you know, it was like fucking sucking a meatball through a straw, and
like it's the black sheep of the entire lineup.
Just so challenging. It was ridiculous. But I would say, all things considered, I've had it recently, and I don't think I think there's so many Tatuajes that are good in flavor or great in flavor. It kind of masks this one, but for the price, it's like it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go appropriate. I'm gonna go appropriate given my personal experiences, but like, the fact that the cigar is so inexpensive and you get a really good cigar, typically if it's smoking as intended, you get a pretty good cigar. Personal experiences match with that. I'm going to say it's appropriate for the market.
And it's not gimmicky.
Not at all. You know? No gimmick to it at all.
Zero.
Next up on the list, you're actually smoking it currently, which is the AJ Fernandez Diaz de Gloria.
The famed AJ stick that represents what he's been wanting to do with his own personal brand for so long. Now, I have a question for you, Corey. I actually don't know the price point on this cigar, so you're going to have to enlighten me before I give judgment.
Sure. Right around the $10 mark.
Okay.
For what you're smoking currently.
We, I believe, in the past said that AJ itself was unfortunately, with an asterisk, an overrated brand. One by which produce better cigars for other folks than they do their own.
That would be correct.
But if you were to take it from that macro scale and bring it down into the minute, the micro, and just look at this cigar as it is, ignore all your other experiences, ignore all the other AJs you might have smoked in the past and go, well, that's not that great. This one in particular, at a $10 price point in a 7 by what looks like 48 or something. I'm not sure. Something like that.
Yeah. We'll go with that.
Wow, what a good cigar. What yeah. a good cigar.
Yeah, it's great.
What a good cigar, and I'm glad to see something come out of the AJ that he can put his own stamp of approval on, you know, that he's not doing for someone else, he's doing it for himself. What's more humbling than that? Yeah. What's more non-gimmicky than that? You know.
I would agree with you. I look at this cigar, and first of all, someone submitted this as one to cover, but I just posted a review on the cigar, and it was the only score that I've ever given in a recommendation that we called the hot ticket, right?
Yeah.
Which is the absolute upper echelon score. It's the top remarks you can get. So for me, it's pretty obvious. I think it's because we've categorized AJ Fernandez as a whole in the past as an overrated brand for many reasons. A cigar like this comes to the marketplace. I smoke it, understand the flavor complexity to it, and it offers up a good sense of balance. It was almost, to me, it was like it's like the phoenix rising from the ashes. It's like this rebirth, right? Yeah. And to me, it was like, if this is the cigar that is the rebirth cigar and everything to follow is going to match, it's going to match that kind of intensity in terms of what they're going to blend and bring to the marketplace. Holy shit. You know, my opinion would change completely because this is hands down one of the best cigars I've ever had. This Diaz de Gloria, I think, is an absolutely phenomenal cigar. And even at $10, I'm going to say is underrated. And I think it's underrated because it doesn't get the attention that it deserves. I think it should get more attention, but I think a lot of people feel the same way about AJ that we do. And I'm not so sure people are all that enthusiastic about trying the cigar. I think there's some reluctance there. I'm here to say, put that reluctance aside, smoke the cigar. It's absolutely incredible.
I would also agree. I think with any predisposition you have towards the AJ brand, that this one is going to be looked upon as a not so great cigar, but coming from me, that puts it in the underrated category as well.
Yeah.
Completely. It's one of those cigars underrated. Where you're just gonna have to try it and experience it for yourself. But that said, out of all the AJ lineups, you know, all the cigars that he's produced, this is an underrated one in that lineup.
Yeah.
It is.
I completely agree. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I can't get enough of them. I smoke them all the fucking time. It's like I literally cannot get enough of them. So AJ Fernandez, Diaz de Gloria, absolutely definitively underrated. Next up on the list, the Southern Draw Cedrus. And I don't know if this is a cigar that you've had. I've had it multiple times.
This is the green one, right?
This is the green one. So here's my thing about the Cedrus. I smoked this in Arkansas a couple years ago and then smoked it again probably about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason I smoked it twice is because I was hoping the second time that I smoked it would be vastly different than the first time. Of course, when I say that, I mean I hope it's a lot better. The Southern Draw Cedrus, I think, is probably a foundation cigar, is I would say is probably like the staple cigar for Southern Draw. It's the one that I think has garnered the most attention and the most hype and probably the most accolades. So I smoke that cigar with that same kind of shared enthusiasm because typically I follow that hype train pretty close. Of course, I give my own opinion and I'm not necessarily saying that I agree with what everyone agrees with, but if something's hyped up, I want to try it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And the Southern Draw Cedars for me when I smoked it was so underwhelming. I thought the cigar itself had a really heavy spice component with not a lot of good balanced flavors. And that was through the whole cigar. So there's times I was smoking the cigar and I go, ugh, it's just not there yet. But I anticipate, given what I've heard, that this cigar is going to balance out quite nicely as I progress forward. And it never did. I thought the cigar was so just lacking across the board. And that was my first experience smoking the cigar, right? So I challenged myself not that long ago to smoke it again, because there's a lot in the Southern Draw lineup that I like. The Rose of Sharon I really like. It's one of the only Connecticuts that I like. You have the Jacob's Ladder, which I think is the Brimstone specifically, and that Crazy Vitola is so fucking good. The cigar, the wrapper on that cigar is so goddamn thick and delicious. That cigar is absolutely incredible. So I'm like, maybe it was just me. Like, let me give this Cedrus another try. I smoke it again. Very underwhelmed by the cigar. Very underwhelmed. I know people who love this cigar, and I'm just not getting what they're getting. Or from a palatability perspective, we're just so different that whatever is, I say whatever sparking what's going on in their mouth, it's just I'm not getting that same spark at all. So for me, I think the cigar itself is very overrated, because it did kind of come with some hype a little bit, and it's been categorized as, again, the staple cigar of the Southern Draw lineup.
Well, the problem is, which I don't think, I'm going to address the elephant in the room. There's a problem with making a cigar for a celebrity. You know, this cigar was made for Cedrus the Entertainer, and the minute you get into producing cigars for celebrities is the minute you diminish the value of the cigar and just slap a name on it to someone who's popular. And Cedrus the Entertainer is one by which I don't hold much affinity or appreciation for. So I knew I probably was not going to like this Cedrus cigar. I also found it to be slightly underwhelming. I at this point I don't stand by the popular vote of anybody who's appreciated this cigar. Now, as an asterisk, that story was made up for any of you who are gonna try to like
what
say some shit. But,
Cedrus the Entertainer.
But I didn't really care for it that much. I didn't. I think I've had it once, and that was enough for me.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just didn't get it. You know, when people were kind of touting the cigars being like this, you know, insanely great cigar that's got so much complexity to it, and it's just got all of these great characteristics, I'm like, what am I missing? Like, what am I not getting? You know, honestly, it's like another cigar that we're certainly going to be talking about, I think, on this episode, and actually maybe coming up soon. Nope, not yet. I don't even know if we'll make to it this episode. But yeah, I thought the Cedrus was overrated. And it comes with a really hefty price. When we're talking about $12 for this fucking cigar. $12 for a Southern Draw cigar. I'm like, I'm out, man. I'm out. It's just not, I don't believe
it's that good. Well, they tried to price it appropriately to the cost of admission to go watch Cedrus do stand-up.
Yeah,
and, clearly. You know, it's just gimmicky. It's just a bit gimmicky, and it is overrated.
Yeah, I agree.
So I stand with you on that one.
On to the next one. This is the Illusione Singulare, which Ooh. I've had only a handful of times. What, Chris, what do you think about this cigar? I'm pretty sure you've smoked the Singulare.
I have. I don't know if there's many Illusione that I haven't smoked at this point. Singulare, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a $15 stick.
Yes, right about. It's upper echelon price point for Illusione cigars. I think this one actually really doesn't eclipse the I think it's like the $13 mark.
Okay. Sometimes you gotta, when you take a draw of your cigar, you gotta not inhale. I've never had a bad experience with Illusione, or how we call it in the South, Illusion. Right. I've always had an affinity towards their cigars. I've found some Illusione high-priced cigars to be a little bit overvalued, but they're usually always good. There's a little gimmick to their brand, don't get me wrong, but it's cool. I dig it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I think the Singulare is slightly overvalued as well. I'm debating on if I think it's appropriately priced or a little bit overrated. Now, there's a lot of Illusions that I think are underrated, because I think of the price point, I think of the brand, and I think of the exposure, and it's like, man, they make some really good fucking cigars. When you get up to that echelon of price point, and it's still kind of not a, it's still very, very much kind of a boutique type of cigar. That's what gives me pause to think it's appropriate. It like hits the mark, but I do struggle with the price point that maybe makes it slightly overrated. It's almost like, well, we make this stellar, you know, like best tobacco ever type cigar, and we're selling it for $13 to $15. And you go, well, it's good, but it's not like amazing, like right. some of the other ones that I can get at like $7, $8. I don't know. I know, you know what? I will stick with being appropriate.
Okay. It's a cigar for me, and there's so many within the Illusione lineup. This one to me actually kind of stands out a little bit. I've smoked this one quite often. Even with the elevated price point, but typically I always smoke this in a pretty large vitola. I actually have two in my humidor right now, and it's actually making me want to smoke it. I think this cigar is absolutely incredible. In terms of all Illusione product, which to me has a lot of similar characteristics, one is not necessarily that different than the other. That's just me personally.
Yeah,
I think when you execute on your strategy being crafting everything you can from Aganorsa, and I understand that Dion probably gets top picks in terms of the tobacco that he, you know, they grow and he's able to utilize. I'd say even with that, they all have very similar characteristics, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Their cigars are incredible. This one to me kind of stands out against the others, especially for that price point. You have cigars like the Hot 10, which is what,
that's a
fucking
good one.
$20+. It's a great cigar.
Yeah.
But I think about like the elevation and pricing. I think about value overall. And I think the Singulare actually has it has some of those same characteristics, but doesn't come with the heightened price. I still think it's pricey, but I've only ever smoked this in the largest vitola you can get in this cigar. And it's like, if I can enjoy 2 hours at that price point with that such great tobacco, to me, like in my head, I go, yeah, that's kind of worth it. So for me, I think it's very appropriate. I don't think it's overrated. I don't think it's underrated. I think it fucking nailed it, because it's a great cigar, great tobacco, always super consistent. And I find myself just going back and smoking it pretty often.
So I'm trying to remember if what I had was a Singulare limited edition. I had it at the lounge. It was $30.
Oh, yeah. They were selling those. They were selling the Singulare.
It came in a box. And it came in and it was really long.
I don't know. Like, you should probably look that up just to confirm. But
I am. I'm looking it up now. I want to say it was Singulare. I could be wrong, though. But
I don't think you are. I don't know. Maybe you are, but I don't know. Anyway, I like the cigar itself. When I first initially smoked it, I think I was probably in the Toro. I think I've only ever had it in Toro. I actually may have had it in that original vitola that they had, which was, I think it was like, what, a seven by something. It's longer. It's more like a Churchill. I actually think I have two of those left. And I think that vitola is fucking great for that cigar. Typically with Aganorsa tobacco, I like stuff that's in a smaller vitola. that, you know, kind of falls in line with what Warp does, right? That Corona size Vitola, or like petite Corona size Vitola, or even like in Lancero. But Illusiano, he fucking kind of knocked it out of the park with the Singulare and just these fucking fat donger Vitolas. I think the tobacco is great and I love it. I love it in those larger sizes. I mean, we're talking 6x50, 6x52, 7x46, 5.25x54, 3.75x48. Like, those are some dongers. They're like real fucking dongs, man.
Yeah.
And that tobacco is great. I love the Vitolas and I love the smoke itself. The more I talk about it, I think it's really appropriate for what you get.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think kind of hits the mark. The more I beat it up in my head, the more I'm like, yeah, I think it hits it.
You know what's weird? It's like I keep going down to the basics of why it's a cigar that I seek. It's like when I see it, I want to smoke it. And to me, that makes it worth it. You know what I mean? If I see it and I see it on the shelves to its most basic form, it's like take value aside, take the price comparison and the smoking experience comparison and the flavor and just break it down bare bones. If you see it on the shelf, do you want to grab it and smoke it? That cigar is that to me, where I'm like, yeah, I feel the same way about an EP Carrillo La Historia. It's like one of my all-time favorite cigars. So when I see it, even if someone is fucking selling it for way too much and they're selling it for fucking $13, $14, I'm like, it's hard for me not to grab it because I like it that much, even though I know I can get it for less. The Singulari is kind of like that for me. I think when I see it and I'm like, fuck, I don't even care if I had to pay $13 for it, I'm grabbing it and I'm smoking it. You're welcome, Illusione. I'm just saying. That was a pretty fucking great endorsement.
Hey, Illusione, this is all constructive what we're saying here, but I want to give you one kudos. You, my friends, create one of the most beloved Candelas that I hold dear to my heart. The 88 Candela.
That is a pretty good cigar.
Love it.
It's the only one that battles the Fomorian.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Next up, the Rodriguez Primera Class. I don't know if it's Class, like Klaus, like Klaus. like a German guy, Klaus, or Klaus, if it's Classe. Either way, I just smoked one of these last night while we were on a video chat. First of all, this cigar is not expensive.
No. Nope.
I'm just going to come out and say that it's sub $10. I think it's like at the $8 price point. And I'm not saying you're going to find these on shelves everywhere, because you're not. This to me is literally one of the best cigars I've smoked. By the way, it comes in this fucking super tight box press. I mean, we talk about box press. This is a fucking box press. This isn't that fucking oval shape. This is not a lazy press down. This is, I'm taking this goddamn fucking cylinder and I'm mashing it into a fucking square. Literally looks just like this phone. That's how it's shaped. The fucking thing is incredible. This cigar to me is so fucking good for the price point. I just wish they were everywhere. I just wish they were everywhere. Now, do I have a bias towards Rodriguez cigars? Yeah, of course I do. My bias is actually built on the fact that I think all of their cigars, I've not had one Rodriguez cigar that I haven't liked. I think everything I've had from them is amazing, and I love their owner, Danny. Danny is such an incredible dude. I loved having a conversation with him. He continues to be awesome. So yeah, I do have a bias. This cigar itself, though, this particular one, is so strikingly amazing. It's like, it's hard to even put into, like, I haven't reviewed this cigar yet and I haven't done it for a specific reason. And I may never actually review this cigar. You know why? I just want this one to myself. I don't want to have to fucking tell people how good it is, like in a written review on the internet for the end of time. I just want it to be mine. Like, this is the one cigar that I just want to hold it to me. Like, I don't want to have to tell people like the intricacies, and I won't do it on here either. I won't tell you about the flavor profile. I won't tell you how the burn experience is. I won't tell you about the construction. The only thing I'll say is I think this cigar is so goddamn underrated. So underrated. And Rodriguez as a whole is so fucking underrated. Like, I just wish they were in every B&M in existence. The cigars are so incredible. And this Primera Clase, which I don't know if it has an accent mark after the E, I don't really give a shit, is so goddamn fucking good. And I'll say this. I think they're so good that even if you can't find them in a retail, even if you can't find them online, just go to Rodriguez's site and fucking buy them. Just go to the site, buy them. You can buy a box off the fucking site. Just go to them directly, buy the cigar, buy a box of them. You will not be disappointed. Buy a box of 20, have them shipped to you, and you will orgasm in your own mouth, and you'll love every second of it.
So I'm going to assume that you're saying underrated.
Very underrated. Dude, it's one of the best cigars I've ever had. Like, hands fucking down. And it's another box press. How weird is that? My favorite EP Carrillo is in a box press. I don't know. It's so strange. I have this strange affinity to box press cigars now. I don't know why.
I would agree with you. It is so good. And it's baffling to me that I had to find out about it through back-end channels of someone who knows someone.
Right.
To get my hands on one.
Right.
You know? That was the reality of how we even found them.
Yeah. So I always say this, like, I give all the kudos in the world from Dave at cigarclub.com. He's the one that introduced us to Danny originally and got us connected and got us hooked up. Both incredible human beings. And I'm glad he did, because had I not been turned on to that cigar at this point in time, I'd be so severely disappointed knowing what I know. I'd be like, how have I ever missed out? And you know what's weird about it too? This is the fucking strange thing about Rodriguez overall. When I post pictures of their cigar, dude, they have the fucking strongest like cult following, like of diehard Rodriguez fans, like people that come out of the woodwork and they're like, best shit ever on the fucking market, hands down. And you're like, whoa. Like,
They're like,
this is the only fucking thing I smoke. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's a hidden gem.
It is, really, man. I just want to see him. And I don't even know if it's Danny's intention to just mass market these motherfuckers and get him in every B&M. We had a conversation with him, and I know there's obviously that opportunity for expansion, and I know he's just kind of going with the flow, and that's awesome. I admire what he does from a business perspective, but the cigar is so good. It's like, I want everybody to try it. You know what I mean? It's not good enough for me personally to just let him do his own thing. It's like, I want to be like, listen here, motherfucker. You send 1,000 boxes immediately across the United States and just let people have all the wet dreams in the world about this cigar.
It's like finding the best fucking queso dip on yumly.com, and then you're like, it's so fucking good.
What the fuck is a Yumly?
You just want to share it with everyone. You want to make it for everyone. You want everybody to try the queso dip.
I don't even know what Yumly is.
It's like, hey, I'm putting together a party. It's like, oh, to watch the game. It's like, no, it's just for the queso. Just come over. I want you to try this queso.
That's funny. Yumly. I don't even know what Yumly is.
It is underrated. It's a hidden gem.
Yeah, hidden gem cigar, hands down. I'll never say too many good things about Rodriguez. Like, they're some of the best cigars I've ever smoked. I mean that fucking very honestly, and this is before, so I smoked these cigars before I ever met Danny, way before I ever met him. I smoked these cigars and was like, my first reaction was like, what in the fuck am I smoking?
And
where did it come from?
Weren't they unbanded?
I think they were all banded.
Were they?
Yeah. Yeah, they were all banded. And I think the Primera Clase was the first one I had, and the next one was a cigar that you can't find at all and hasn't even been released yet, which I still have two of, which to me is the best cigar, but I can't name it and I can't say anything about it because it's not on the market. But also, the Series 84 Maduro is so good. I reviewed that cigar, yeah, and it's fucking incredible. So overall, Rodriguez is underrated. This particular cigar is underrated. Get your goddamn hands on it. We're at about the 50-minute mark, and I'm going to bring up a cigar that is insanely controversial.
Okay.
To me personally, in terms of overrated, underrated, and that is the Crown Heads La Colisión. Do we feel, Chris, that this cigar is overrated or underrated in the cigar marketplace. This now, a little background on the cigar. The La Colisión is a collaboration, a true collaboration between Crown Heads and Willie Herrera of Drew Estate. So Drew Estate actually manufactures the cigar and it's distributed by Crown Heads. Now, let me rewind a little bit. This cigar was originally announced on our podcast before it was announced anywhere. We had John and Willie on the podcast to announce this particular cigar, and I believe it was our episode 100, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it probably was.
Massive episode, right? Just big fucking release. So that being said, Drew Estate produced, Crown Heads distributed, La Colisión came with a ton of fucking hype, a massive amount of hype. When it came out and it hit the shelves, they were flying off the shelves. I still think to a degree they're still doing pretty fucking well. But Chris, what do you feel about the La Colisión overall? And this is a cigar that we've had on the podcast and we've rated. We've not necessarily rated in terms of overrated, underrated. We just gave it what we thought was an appropriate score at the time.
Yeah. It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite Crown Heads. I always want all of them to be, but that's just not how things pan out sometimes. That said, it's a $13 cigar coming packaged out of Drew Estate, blended between the Crown Heads family and Drew Estate family. I wanted to like it, and I wanted to like it so much that I had it before it released, I had it as it released, and I had it multiple times after it was already on shelves, months after. Each time I smoke it, I always have a little bit of hope that it will reach a point to where I would love it. Well, you know, it's kind of like listening to music, right? You might hear a song on the radio and you're like, eh, I don't know if I like it, but you hear it enough. It starts to build up in you, and then you start singing along to it, and you're like, oh, shit, I think I like this song. This La Colisión was a song that I've listened to so many times, and each time I listen to it, the more I just realize I don't really like it. So, and at a $13 price point, it's one by which, well, at least the ones we had was like around $13.
The average price of this cigar in what is the size of the cigar? The 5x46 is $11. So yeah, you're probably right. For the larger Vitola, somewhere around 13. I don't have the exact numbers, but yeah, you're probably pretty close.
I could totally appreciate people that like this cigar. But my personal opinion is it's overrated. It's an overrated cigar. I've always wanted to love it. I just don't. And when I smoke it and I'm like, it's a decent smoke. It's not one by which it's worth the price point and the hype that was around it at this point, that I would say overrated.
I agree with you in terms of I think it's an overrated cigar. I think where the cigar shines is where Drew Estate shines a lot of times in their cigars, and that is in the construction. We gave this cigar high marks in terms of construction and burn. And I think that is really what helped elevate the score for us in terms of really what we thought from a value perspective this cigar was worth. I think where the cigar was hyped up, but where it fell short for me was in the flavors. I didn't think the cigar was overly dynamic. I've said about this before, and you can read the review that we posted. We have a whole podcast on it. It's episode 112. So you can actually, you know, listen to it, read our review, the whole thing. It's online. I think a blend with Connecticut Broadleaf could be so much better than what that cigar represented. I was just disappointed. And the fact that, and I agree with you in terms of I've had this cigar multiple times. I've had this cigar fucking 30 times. And I'm kind of in a similar situation as you, where sort of like I've always wanted it to get better. And I think there was enough hype around it where I don't know that people weren't being honest with themselves or they truly like this. I don't know. And I'm not speculating either way, one way or the other. I'm only saying that it's strange to me that I've continued to smoke this cigar and have smoked this cigar and will continue to smoke this cigar over periods of time, either through rest and aging and so on and so forth, to see if I can get what everybody else is touting, what everybody else is getting that makes this cigar so wonderful in the eyes of the average consumer or even the average review platform. It just wasn't there for me. This particular Vitola was $13.50, by the way, so even 50 cents more than what you had initially stated. So you were close, obviously, but I just thought it was so underwhelming, especially for that price point. Because I look at it and I go, fuck, I can buy, in terms of Drew Estate, I can buy a T52, I can buy a Liga Privada number 9. It's like massive cigars in the fucking industry for the same price point. And I was like, this from the flavor wasn't dynamic enough. It wasn't complex enough for me, especially at that price. I thought it was lacking. And it has all the components to be good. We're talking about Connecticut broadleaf, Sumatran binder, Dominican and Nicaraguan filler combinations. It should have an elevated complexity. I just think it fell short in terms of my personal expectations. So for me, I thought it was overrated. It was one of the most hyped cigar releases of the year. It was probably one of the biggest releases of the year in terms of, hey, when it hit the market, how quickly did it fly off the shelves? I would probably argue, and I don't know what those numbers look like, but I'm pretty sure it did really well, which at the end of the day, that's what matters. But for me, I'm very critical of the cigar, and I don't know if it's just because, you know, the cigar itself was so overwhelming, or maybe I put Crown Heads at such a high standard in terms of things that they release, and more often than not, the vast majority are amazing. Like anything that comes from EP Carrillo, with
that Mil Diaz that just came out,
and Mil Diaz from the Pichardo, it's just fucking incredible. The Juarez is incredible. Like all these incredible cigars, and this one being the one with the most elevated price point was probably one that fell the most short for me. I would smoke the Juarez over this cigar every single day of the week, and it's less than half the price. By 2-for-1, baby. I'd smoke the Juarez all day over the La Coalición.
And if you felt left out and you wanted something like the La Coalición, just take two Juarez's, super glue, cut the cap off of one, super glue them together. And you've got yourself a La Coalición with a different blend.
I mean, that's not accurate at all, but I kind of like where you're going with it. Dude, for me personally, it's missed. It's such a fucking void smoking experience for me personally that when I smoke it, I'm just not, I sometimes just get kind of bored with it and I'm just not paying attention. There's just being honest. Like it's just kind of dull and numb a little bit. It's kind of just like holding something in my fingers and fucking smoking it. I know I can pick up any other Crown Head cigar, Las Marías, the Juarez. I can pick up any one of the Las Calaverases. I can pick up any one of the Pinolos. I can pick up a La Imperial. I can pick up any other Court Reserve, any other fucking Crown Head cigar and just be totally in the moment smoking that cigar and just pondering like, why do I love this so much? It's so good. It's so delicious. And here's all the changes and the subtleties and all that. And I don't get any of that with the La Coalición. None of that. None of those factors exist in that cigar for me. Just is what it is, I guess. But I think the cigar overall in the marketplace was very overrated, even though there's a ton of people who fucking love this cigar to no end. And it was really, from a critic perspective, super highly rated. So maybe we're the assholes. I don't know. Or maybe we're just, maybe we're the only ones being honest. It's tough telling at this point. But either way, it seemed like a very successful cigar.
Yeah. Yeah, can't fault it. If it's selling, it's a good cigar.
If it's selling, it's smelling. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's appropriate to end on that one, because that one to me is probably one of the more controversial ones for us personally. We only made through like a small handful of these. So, of course, we can generate multiple episodes from the individual cigar, overrated, underrated. And, of course, we'll keep continuing doing the brand ones until we make our way through every single one of them.
Yeah. And as a small token to all the brands we've reviewed today, even though one of your cigars might be overrated by us, just know that we still love you. I think each brand that we've talked about today, in some small consolation, should know that overall, we love you all.
I also like to be somewhat self-deprecating in the fact that I'm going to say, who the fuck are we?
Yeah.
I often say, who gives a shit what we say? Are we the fucking authoritarians on cigars? Do we pretend to be Cigar Coop? Do we pretend to be Half Wheel? Do we pretend to be Cigar Aficionado? No. All those guys are old as fucking nerds. And we aren't either one of those, in my opinion. We're not old. I don't think we're nerdy. So are we the ultimate authority? Nope. But we love to smoke, and we love to give our opinions. And a lot of people fucking listen. So I feel like we at least have to be authentic, and we have to be honest, even despite popular opinion. And that's what we're going to do.
That's true, bro. That's so true. Wise words. Such wise words.
Yeah, you look like you're going into like a fucking Wall Street meeting.
Well, I'm going to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, how's that New York Stock Exchange today?
Well, a lot of downs.
It is actually down, and it's down because Donald Trump contracted coronavirus, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're saying, at least. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I guess consumer confidence changes when the fucking president gets coronavirus. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? I don't know. Anywho, let's wrap this shit up. We're right at an hour, so let's finish at an hour. Excuse me. That was a bourbon burp. You can visit our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Promo code HOT10 at checkout for $10 off your first pack. And also check out their new factory direct cigars. I'm only going to say this as a teaser. Maybe we'll have something to do with that.
I can't do it with one eye. Hold on.
I can do it with both. I remember when I used to wink, I would just go like this. And I remember mom telling me, like, it's one eye. And then I was like, I don't know how to do that. Now I can kind of do it. But maybe we'll have something to do with that long term. I don't know. We'll see. You can also visit our website, www.hotticketweekly.com, for news, reviews, and more. You can find the podcast on the website, too. Chris was supposed to actually put up 2 cigar reviews this week, and he has not posted any at all. He's actually supposed to do one last week, and he said he was going to do 2 this week. It's Friday, and nothing has been posted.
Hey, yes, one did post.
Oh, it did? Yes. Thanks for telling me.
Sure did. I reviewed the Yagua.
That's right, the Yagua from J.C.
Newman.
Yeah, that is a brand new cigar. It just hit shelves not too long ago. It's very primitive looking. If you've not smoked the Yagua yet, it looks like someone just threw a bunch of fucking tobacco in a goddamn fucking box and was just like, smoke this. It looks ridiculous. It reminds me of the CAOs in terms of the primitive look, like the COA Amazon Basins, like that whole category of cigars. But even worse, it's almost like I feel like they had shitty cigar rollers and they're like, how do we take the fact that we know that these are going to be fucking inadequately produced because our cigar rollers are terrible, but let's put a marketing spin on it to make it look primitive, and we'll sell them like, oh, they're supposed to be that way. They're supposed to be shittily made. That is the J.C. Newman Yagua.
Well, apparently the way they described it was in the 40s in Cuba, they used to bind bundles of cigars in palm tree leaves.
Right.
And that's what gives it the characteristics of these like indentations on it. And they're not perfectly circled because they're all bunched into like a bundle and they're squeezing on each other.
Yeah.
Mine was like the shape of a triangle. If you look down it, it was like the shape of a triangle.
Yeah. No, I've heard the story, but do I believe it? I don't know. I don't know if I do. I'd like to visit the factory to find out, quite frankly. Part of me believes that none of it's true and it's just marketing. And really what they have is just a bunch of shitty fucking rollers that they just hired that don't know how to make a goddamn cigar. Imagine me going in there and making a cigar for the first time. That's what it would look like. It would look that terrible. But either way, doesn't matter how it looks. Matters how it smokes.
That's
matters
true.
What the flavor's like. So check out that review, www.hotticketweekly.com. You can check out the J.C. Newman Yagua. We'll have some more reviews coming out this week. I have one. I have a great one. And by great, I don't mean great at all. But I'm going to post it. Post it in a few days.
It'll be a great read.
It'll be a good read for sure. I wouldn't even spoil it by saying the manufacturer, because as soon as I say it, people are just going to go, ugh. But it's a new cigar, and that's what we're challenging ourselves to do. So let's do this. We have some video games to play. I'm going to put some pork chops on the grill, head out back with my Nintendo Switch, and play some video games for a little bit.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Huh?
Oh, I'm part of that.
You are part of that. Yeah, you definitely are. So thanks everybody for listening. This is episode 168. We'll be back at you next week with episode 169.
Oh,
you like that? All right. See everyone.
See ya.
Adios. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video on YouTube. Look up The Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.